Good afternoon. For KFSK News Department, I'm Joe Vicnicki, back with Campus Connection. This is our local call-in show, and I'm joined in the studio today by school board members Megan Litster and Sarah Holmgren, as well as school superintendent Erica Klute-Painter. Thank you all for coming in today.
Thanks for having us. Big
agenda today and lots to talk about, and let's dive right in and remind listeners, too, you're welcome to call in with a question or comment at 772-3808, and we'll try to answer your question. One of the big topics this week is testing and the state's new assessment. The state education department finally released the school-specific results yesterday for the new assessment, the Alaska Measures of Progress, the new test is called. Erica, this is something you've been tracking a lot lately and also trying to get the message out about a lot. And I also see on the school district's website there's actually a brochure that you've posted about this new test.
Yes.
What should parents know about the results that are finally out this week?
Well, the results are coming out. It's been an interesting process, which I think it always is whenever there's a new assessment. So we knew that there would be some challenges with it. And there have been. There were actually some challenges with getting the results out to districts. That's been kind of a difficult process this fall. So that's been challenging. Then we did actually get the results about a week and a half ago. Really, the superintendents and district test coordinators did. And then the state actually was not happy with the way the reports looked and the information on them. The testing data was still accurate, but the reports themselves, they weren't. They didn't feel that they provided enough information, and we actually didn't either when we were looking at them for parents. Since then, there has been quite a bit of discussion about that topic, and I think that there's going to be more discussion about that. So even the parent reports now, when they do come out, they don't provide a lot of specific information, which is difficult, can be difficult for parents, and also doesn't provide a lot of instructional information for teachers, which is something I think we were expecting, and so we were a little disappointed about that.
What does it look like? Does it say your specific student is in one of the four different levels,
yep,
basically?
Okay. You get a little, it's a two-page sheet per subject area, so math and then English language arts, and it comes with, there's a little meter on there. It's called an amp meter, and it has the four levels on it, and then your child's information. The way they talk about it is different from the SBAs in the past. They talk about it as being an assessment that's not, we're not talking about children being sort of proficient or not proficient. We're talking about them meeting standards or partially meeting standards is how they talk about it. So, it's still going to be challenging because, you know, if a child or a parent reads a score sheet and, you know, they were used to their children performing at a certain level, and now you look at a 2, for example, which, you know, is kind of difficult, and then there isn't necessarily a lot of information about what that means. So I guess just to reiterate once again that this is one measure, one day in time. It does not define our children. We're going to use it as one piece of information, but we are not going to the bank on this describing exactly where each child is. It's, you know, new standards, and you know, our kids in our district did well above the state average, which we often do, which is great to see. And our kids worked really hard when they did take the tests, and you know, that's how we're going to talk with kids about it too, not to be disappointed or frustrated. It's one piece of information. So.
Megan and Sarah, you were just at a conference of all the school boards, and I bet this was a pretty hot topic with these scores coming out. What are your thoughts on what you see in the numbers for Petersburg District and statewide? What's the discussion about this new assessment? Megan?
Well, I actually did sit in on a class specific for school board members regarding AMP, so that was really helpful because I was approaching it with my parent hat on before, and my parent hat said, I'm not really sure what this even is, what even happened last year, I'm not really sure what my kids used to do. So it was really good to switch hats and get a little bit more information, and you know, parents who, especially who have a little bit older kids, have been used to getting these assessment, these test scores for their kiddos, and we've been really used to seeing these scores and kind of being able to look and go, oh wow, my kids are doing really good. They're like way above. You know, they're just really proficient, and it just feels really good. And so one of the main things that I took away was that, and Erica said this, so I'm just reiterating, the scores do not transfer. So what used to be, you know, maybe I would used to think a 4, oh boy, my kiddo is just doing outstanding. That score is not given very often. It's just a totally different scale. So you just don't want to compare the two.
Because the standards have been raised. Your kids are now being asked to retain more.
They've been raised, but not only that, the assessment is measuring kind of different things. They used a different scale. They're using different numbers altogether. They're using different terminology. So the transfer is not even like, well, you know, our kids aren't doing as well as we thought they were. It's just two completely different. It's apples and oranges completely. So I think that for me as a parent and a school board member, looking at the district scores and state scores and then thinking about my own kid also, it's really important to remember we're not comparing the same things at all. And also, just to recap on the actual report that we're going to see, has some different graphs and charts and things like that on there, which are also not the same as what we saw before. And there were some strange kind of technical difficulties that were happening at the state level on how those read. So I think
it doesn't really have information about your student missed in this part of math, the subject matter, or English literature,
yeah.
Or
yeah, they discuss it as, they call it claims, and we have information in the packet, or any information on the website, and actually the Alaska Department of Education has a lot of information if people want to look at it further, but they kind of break it down into these generalized claims under each subject area. So it's more of a 30,000-foot view, to be honest, and that makes it kind of difficult if you are trying to think about instruction or even thinking about, well, oh, my child really does seem to have some strengths in this particular area, and maybe not so much in this area that might need some extra work. And so it's not as specific as we had hoped, I think. So I know the state is actually working with the vendor on this because they have heard feedback from superintendents, they've heard feedback from test coordinators, and I'm assuming at some point we're probably going to hear feedback from teachers and parents as well, because we're not opposed to assessment at all. I mean, the accountability piece has to happen. It's important. We do need to know how our kids are doing, but I think there's still some bugs to work out. So,
mm-hmm. Sarah, any thoughts on this new assessment?
Well, we ended up debating it quite a bit on Sunday, the school board members at our resolution, and it was really quite interesting to listen to that, because some people wanted to throw the whole assessment out and start over and get something from another state. Why are we reinventing the wheel? This is costing a lot of money. And then others were, let's not throw out the baby and the bathwater. Let's try and work on this and see if we can make it better. But it has been a frustrating experience, considering they took it in March, right? April, and we're just now getting the results, and they're not even specific enough to help with instruction. So from my point of view, and it's not necessarily the entire board's, it's been pretty frustrating, because I think of all the time and money that our district spent in just getting ready for it, and then teachers aren't even getting any sort of instructional help. A student that was struggling in something in April, and now it's November. You know, we've lost months of possible differences or things that teachers could have been doing something different for a particular student. But again, it is just a snapshot of one day and one time in a different, you know, in the spring. So it's hard. It's hard to get on the state's bandwagon on it for me personally, because it's a pretty frustrating experience for everybody. They're being more diplomatic than I think I can be about it.
And when, also just to kind of reiterate also the debate, it was like a statewide, so people can imagine school boards from 49 districts across the state were having this debate, and I try to remind myself this isn't something that wasn't our teacher's idea, wasn't Ms. KP's idea. This is a statewide assessment, and we're just kind of trying to figure out what's going to happen next on the state level with it.
Well, and the whole discussion is, yeah, making me wonder the usefulness, because I'm thinking every student is getting grades anyway in mm-hmm. both these subjects, so they have a pretty good low-level view, or a parent has a pretty good low-level view about how your student is doing in these subjects. Mm-hmm. And so,
and I think that's important to remember. I think the other thing to remember is, you know, that I don't think others are even saying that we're even opposed to these standards. Mm-hmm. I think that's important to say. We actually feel it has been helpful to us in our district in helping us with our curriculum work. So, you know, I'm not really knocking that, but different types of information that teachers are getting in their classrooms to actually find out what their kids do and don't know. So we're doing, that's more important, honestly, we feel, for informing instruction and also for talking with parents about how their kids are doing. We have lots of other ways of doing that. So we can certainly still talk to parents about how their kids are doing with these new standards, just still some things to work on with the state.
When will parents be seeing this specific information about their students? Is that coming out in the next few weeks?
It is. They're supposed to be mailing the hard copies of those parent reports in mid-November, and then I think our goal then will be we have conferences coming up before Thanksgiving, so we have a kind of unique opportunity to be able to give those to parents. And then we also have an opportunity to talk with parents individually, you know, teachers will, about how their kids are doing. And so that'll be nice during conferences.
All right. We'll hear more about the test tonight, the Alaska Measures of Progress. Let's cover a couple other topics on the agenda, because you do have other things on there. Two new policies that you voted on in first reading last month, and were scheduled for a second reading this month. And it looks like at least one of the policies, one on the memorials in the school, you're looking at tabling that for until your next month. Is that right, Sarah?
Yeah, in our board policies, it's required to have two readings, and you can have as much testimony as you would like. And we're going to go ahead and move ahead with the second and final reading of the naming of schools and facilities. But the memorial policy, we're looking for more feedback from the community, specifically on the language in the policy. We've had very little feedback on how the policy is actually written. We've had feedback in other aspects, but is there something specific that people object to or they support on the actual language as we move forward? And so we just felt it would be beneficial to wait one more month and give people more of an opportunity, because, quite honestly, I don't think most people didn't realize or start paying attention until after the KFSK article on it from the last board meeting. And so it's a good time to weigh in, take a look at the policy, read it thoroughly, and then let us know either way.
So you'll be happy to hear from people tonight on that?
Sure. Okay. Yep, they can contact us individually by email or phone call. Our emails are on the website. Our cell phones and home numbers are on the website. But if they don't feel comfortable talking, plus, unfortunately, we have to limit it. The board policy also limits public testimony to 30 minutes total on any one item. So it is limited on what we can hear from in one night, because we do have other things on the agenda we need to address. So that's why we're also encouraging people to just pick up the phone or send an email.
Okay.
Take a look at the language and see what you think.
And last month we heard from a couple people who were concerned about removing the existing memorials in the school and taking them down. Is there any wiggle room in there? Can those be left up, or is there a different category that can be left for, retiring sports number jerseys in the gym and that kind of thing? That happens everywhere in sports, right? I mean,
well, we did, we asked about that, because some people did ask, and we actually cannot, as part of our state association for sports, cannot retire jersey numbers, because there are only so many numbers that are allowed to be out there. It's to permit the referees to be able to do hand signals of, you know, number 55 ran into number 26 or 24 or whatever. So there's, if you continue, you know, if you periodically retire numbers, you will eventually run out of numbers and not have any jerseys.
I think you technically can do that, but that's the reason why people
don't typically do a lot.
Yeah, we did ask about that, because it was a question that came up, but that's the reason why people are very judicious in it, especially in high school sports. because of that, because of those numbers. So, yeah.
But yeah, that's specific to the concept of the number. Yeah.
Okay. So I think it's been a delicate situation because we do have other memorials that are up that aren't apparently as emotionally charged. But we do have a lot of people that have come forward to say this is an issue of equity as well, now and into the future, that it's kind of an all or nothing. And so you run the risk of all of having dozens up over the course of many years. Or do we just say, because we don't have a policy now, we're making a policy and they all come down because we have to be equitable and fair between now and into the future. So,
and like Sarah said, we've received feedback on both sides, generally really specific about the grandfathering kind of portion of the policy. Not a lot of feedback on other points in the policy, so we are interested in hearing that. And I personally, you know, if people have ideas or solutions that could be, that we could think about that would be equitable, I love to hear from people about those things. So I encourage people who maybe aren't able to speak tonight or don't feel comfortable doing that, they could certainly email.
And the naming policy, I haven't read it super closely, but is there allowance in there for naming stuff that's smaller than a building level part of the campus? I mean, is there a way to honor somebody who's currently honored in the district with that policy? I mean, is that a help? Could you name something after somebody that's part of the gym or part of the building?
Well,
or
we do have the auditorium is named after Sid and Vara Wright, and so that's not an entire building. It's part of the middle school. And, I mean, it's all part of the same. There isn't a clear delineation necessarily between one, so I would say it was a room that was named after them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in honor of their work in the community as well as in the schools, because Vara was still alive when that was named after both of them. So, mm-hmm. And then, of course, Racy Seddon was named decades ago. I remember that happening when the board passed that, and the board also acted on the passage. But it, for whatever reason, never developed a naming policy to, you know, to bring that forth. So we thought it was a good opportunity, like all the other policies we've been passing, is what are we missing? What are the gaps? So when someone does want to go through that process, they'll know how. We'll have a map for them.
772-3808 is our phone number if you have a question or a comment, and we will keep talking about that or other items on the agenda. And we'd be glad to put you on the air if you call in with a question or a comment. One discussion item is the uniform and dress code in regards to physical education. I think this is one of the school board members just wanted to talk about what's appropriate for students and what they wear in gym class. Is that right? Or Erica?
Yeah, I think Jay Lister asked about that, and I keep doing that with everybody's last name, sorry.
They're too similar.
I know. Yeah, he had mentioned it. I think he had heard a few people asking some questions about it or commenting on maybe, I think in specifically maybe volleyball uniforms seems to be a question, maybe the shorts part of the uniform, and then comparing those potentially to things that are not acceptable during the school day or even during PE class. And so there was some work that was done there. Jamie Cabral did a little work on some research, and then we talked with teachers and looked at handbooks about that. And so there'll be a little bit of discussion tonight. I think the issue is looking at specific activities and kind of the requirements there, and then thinking about what a school setting, is what's appropriate in an actual school setting. My guess is potentially down the road we might be buying longer shorts for volleyball. That seems to be something I'm hearing a lot about, but which is probably fine. Yeah,
as long as it doesn't inhibit their play, right?
Right, and that
can't
and
touch the net or something like that.
And that seems to be that. We did talk to Jamie about that, and he said that there's the thinking behind that is that the shorts being tight enough so that you don't run the risk of them running into the net and causing other issues.
Okay, and that's just a discussion item tonight,
mm-hmm.
I think. So, also, tonight you'll be hearing a couple different reports. One is on audit from last year's budget, also on the food service program that's currently running in the district as well. And also some personnel changes. One big one, Sharon Anderson has been with the district for many years. When is she already done, or is she soon to be done with the district?
She is not done yet, thank goodness. she is, as everybody knows, or most people know, if they have ever been in the district office, she is a wealth of information and knowledge. She is going to be a huge loss.
She helps
big
you
shoes.
Out in your job.
She is
and ours.
One
yes.
of the only reasons yes. I probably agreed to step in and do this because she's a gem. She is officially done in January, so we've been working on that transition and trying to think about posting that and then hiring, and then so one of the names on the agenda for that
is a familiar face.
Yeah.
People who know the elementary school and know Irene Littleton know she'll be taking over that job. So
that's right.
And you have to fill her job now.
Yes, exactly. So it's been kind of a shifting. Irene, of course, will be great. And, of course, I have to say out loud because I've been accused of, actively recruiting her and stealing her from the elementary school. I said, I didn't recruit. I didn't discourage. But I didn't actively recruit. So it was her decision to apply. Anyway.
Okay. And we're excited.
Yes.
We'll be sad to miss Sharon, of course, but I think Irene will step into that with not a whole huge learning curve.
Yeah,
and as the board, we have really appreciated Sharon, and she keeps us in line and gives us information, and that's just been wonderful. So Irene, I think, will do a wonderful job also.
Yeah. All right, transition then in January for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, also the school board will be talking about a self-assessment and planning document. What is this? You're basically looking at the job you're doing?
Yes. We had Timmy Tolles with the Alaska Association.
Are you meeting state standards?
We're trying to. We're a board in work in progress. We've had a lot of turnover. Of course, as we learned up in Anchorage, even when you have one board member turnover or, retire and someone else comes on, you are a new board again.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of it was learning how to find out what our goals are. Are we meeting them? If we're not, how do we get to that point, or almost delineating who's going to be doing what? Mm-hmm. So it was very helpful, and we'll probably plan on, if we can still manage to fit it in the budget every year, to do it every year, because I think it's important to make sure you stay on track no matter who's on the board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always good to assess ourselves in any job, so we want to make sure we're doing the best job for the school, for our community, and so sometimes a hard thing to do, say, oh gee, we need a little growth in this area, but and then when we went to the conference, we learned even more beyond that about how other boards self-assess and what maybe we would like our standards to be for ourselves in the future. So it's good stuff.
And another little bit of feedback is the climate and connectedness survey. Basically looks at how students feel they fit in the school and get along and mm-hmm. are taught. Is that right? And this is something that the district has done before. Erica, I think you got the word out about the results just mm-hmm. recently in the last couple weeks.
We did. Actually this year, the results, it was taken last spring, and it's administered to 5th through 12th grade students and also to staff. And it asks a lot of questions about focusing on social emotional learning, how connected they are to adults in the school or even in the community, how they feel the climate and culture is within the school and even within the community as well.
Meaning, does it feel safe, welcoming, that
mm-hmm.
kind of thing?
Lots of questions about things like that. And
do adults care about me?
Mm-hmm.
Am I missed? If I'm gone?
Mm-hmm. Yep, questions about that. Some at-risk behavior questions. The way they ask questions on there is kind of interesting, and the board could probably speak to this too, because we did a work session. They did a work session with teachers and staff, and then they did one with the board, and it was open to the community. And actually the results are available for anybody that wants to look at them. But they talked a bit about the way that questions are worded. They don't necessarily always ask questions to a student directly, like, have you done this or tried this or whatever. They'll say, have you ever seen other students? Maybe there's questions about drinking or at-risk behaviors. And so it's an interesting way of doing that. It's less self-reporting and more mm-hmm. Kind of what they see and around them. So it provides interesting feedback. And we have really high scores in our district for the way students view their surroundings. Areas mm-hmm. to work on, certainly, but they feel safe and secure and have positive feedback about the school.
Board members, anything jump out at you from those results? That survey?
I thought it was encouraging. I think it was funny to see that, you know, there was a perception that drinking had gone down from staff, and students didn't have that perception necessarily, but there were some of those where you were like, oh, or ones where, you know, you're not sure if it's that group of students right now or if it's, you know, because it is like a one-day snapshot again. But it was still really good information to know how kids are feeling at that moment, at least.
Yeah. Megan?
The only thing I'd like to add is just I think it's really important information, because we know that kids' social emotional learning and their how they feel about their school and environment affects their performance, how they feel about their teachers, and just all of those pieces which are not directly related to how are we doing in math, but they overall affect school performance. So I'm proud of our district. Not all districts do the survey, as we learned at the conference, and I think it's a great thing. It's a really a way for us to be proactive and think about the whole child and how to meet all of their needs. So we can look at maybe places where we need improvement and think about how to incorporate those into our long-term goals.
You both went up to the conference in Anchorage just last week. Anything exciting to report from that, or any other discussions other than what we've covered already? Those were probably the hot topics.
Funding.
Yeah, of course, the big question mark.
Yeah, that was talked about, yeah. AMP testing.
We had a whole day actually talking about board standards, that idea of the self-assessment. And so that was awesome, actually, because it just really arms us with information to come back and think about our own performance. And so I like that. I like thinking, okay, what can I do next to be the best board member I can be? Funding. I talked a lot about people getting creative, a lot of ingenuity needed, and we're going to continue to follow up.
You guys are still a long way from the budget process for you, though, right?
We are. A
couple months, anyway?
It's challenging, yeah.
You get through Christmas, okay. At least, right? Yeah. For hipster thinking about it.
It's hard, because we don't know what the state's going to do before we need to figure out what we do, but...
Yeah. It does make it difficult, that part.
We did have a fascinating speaker who is the head of... What was her name? Her last name was Juno.
Oh,
Denise Juno. She's actually related... distantly related to the founder of Juno, that's named after. Anyway, she had some really interesting ideas for Montana, but they do funding on a 2-year cycle, which was we were very envious of. But
I think that's the part that's frustrating, is to think that we're going to turn around here again and kind of start this whole lobbying effort, for lack of a better word, again, which is what we spent so much time on last year. So it's hard because it ends up taking time away from things that we would like to be talking about, like student learning and
Okay.
And there's a lot of talk just statewide about what's going to happen to really small schools. Things that won't necessarily affect us, but one of the things I walked away with was the need for us to think about statewide and how do we support other districts just in our lobbying efforts. And you know, there's some talk about closing small schools around the state, like 10 kids or less. So
or even raising that number, right?
Raising that number to 20, 25, combining school districts in some parts of the state. So we just we're going to continue to stay abreast of that information so that we can support education as a whole all over Alaska, and it'll trickle down to being in support of Petersburg as well.
Yeah. Have I missed anything important from tonight's meeting? I know there are a lot of dates coming up, and it's a busy time in the schools. Thanksgiving holiday is not too far off, and you already mentioned parent-teacher conferences are coming up pretty quickly, right before then as well.
Those are coming up, and Veterans Day.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yes, tomorrow.
Yeah, there's an assembly tomorrow, right?
9:30.
Yeah.
And we are always, we did this last year as a district for the first time, and we all really felt that it was very powerful and had a lot of really positive feedback from local veterans as mm-hmm. well as family members and just community. So we're looking forward to that opportunity, and everyone's welcome.
Yeah.
9:30, and that's in the high school gym.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hopefully, especially our local vets and you know, the little guys. I have a fifth grader very excited to sing to them. So
yeah.
All right, cool.
I hope it's packed.
Thank you very much for coming in. We better let Ross Nanook III get on to his music show, and he's coming up next. You've been listening to Campus Connection on KFSK.